Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. Jeremiah, chapter 8. We'll read verses 18 through 22 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Jeremiah, chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Let's finish on verse 22 together. Ready? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? And let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence here in this place. Father, we're so comforted with the fact that we can say, as days of old, there's a man of God in this city. There's a church that is focused like you want it focused. Father, there are literally hundreds of people here and thousands of needs. Father, please meet each of those needs through our preacher. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated.
This morning, I'm going to talk to you about a subject that it's a personal subject. It's personal because of the needs of your life. As you read earlier from the book of Jeremiah, the Bible mentions just a couple of words here that just grasped my attention the other day. The Bible says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. And what is being said here is, I hurt because people hurt. I hurt. And I look out into the lives of people so much, and I have to tell you, I hurt because people hurt. I don't like it when people hurt. I don't want people to hurt. I don't want people to be hurt. And I want to help with that today. I hurt because people hurt. I hurt when the people in my church hurt. I hurt when my friends hurt. I hurt when my family hurts. And I hope you're the same way. We're all looking for safety. Everybody would like to find safety. Where is it safe? This morning, if the United States of America would like safety, I can offer it through what will be preached today. If we would like safety on our roads, if we would like safety in our schools, I've got news for you. Every metal detector in the world in a public school is not going to provide the kind of safety we're really looking for. They hurt themselves in the public schools when they decided to take the Bible out of the public school. That is when the safety issues began, in a more intense way, at least. Safety. Have you ever noticed how hard we work at achieving safety? This is an issue. Safety, safety, safety. Factories. You go to work in a factory, and they'll give you some safety guidelines. They'll have you wear safety glasses, and they'll give you some steel-toed boots for your toes. Safety. And then they'll give you a safety helmet. They may give you a vest that is a safety vest. You'll look out here on Sunday mornings, and we have some of our men that work out here in the unloading of our buses, and they wear an orange vest. It's a safety vest. With cars, we're concerned about this issue of safety. You have safety belts or seat belts, and then we have safety seats for our children. We have airbags that are there for safety. We have the hazard flashers for safety. We have a horn. Now, so you know, that is not a cursing device. That is a safety device. Your horn can say the words for you that you would not say. That's how it usually is, though. But it's a safety device. You have speed bumps that are there for your safety. Now, believe me, they can be there for your damage if you don't let them be there for your safety. If you don't slow down on those speed bumps, you're going to put a dent in the top of your roof where your head hits it, and then you're going to look like a police car with a bubble on top. But they're there for your safety. Speed limits are there for our safety. You know, exit signs are there for your safety. Did you know that Lifesavers candy have a hole in the middle? And believe it or not, that is there for safety. So if a child swallows a whole piece of candy and that gets trapped in their throat, that little hole lets air pass in and out. And we're even concerned about our candy and safety. Big trucks. Have you seen it? The mechanism they have on trucks, when they go to back up, they have a beeper. It goes beep, 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 beep. That says, I'm backing up, I'm backing up, I'm backing up. A little boy was at the grocery store with his mom, and there was this big fella standing there, and the guy had a cell phone on, and all of a sudden that guy's cell phone started beeping. The little boy said, watch out, mama, he's backing up. You have a chain guard on your bicycle. Why? That's there for safety. I remember riding my bike once without the chain guard, and my pant leg got caught in the chain. And that's a mess. Any of you ever have your pant leg caught in a chain guard? That is a mess. And you have reflectors on your bicycle. Why? That's so the drivers can see what they're shooting at. No, it's there for your safety. We have these non-slip stickers that you can put on the floor of your tub or your shower, so when you get in there, you don't slip and break things. Fire extinguishers, what are they? It's about safety. We put handrails on staircases. Why? For safety. Elevator doors. We have come a long way with elevators. Do you know an elevator door, if it begins to shut and there's something in there that would obstruct the total shutting of the door, that door pops back open. And I'm glad of that. I've gone to many an elevator knowing if I just stick my hand in there, I can catch the next flight up. And so, but it's there for safety. Why? Well, if they didn't have that, you stuck your head in there and it got stuck and it started to go up without opening for safety, we'd rip your head off. Now, it'd be an improvement for mankind, but it would hurt you. Bus windows. And all of our buses, I'll remind all of our bus captains, your windows are never supposed to be down past, there's a little safety line there. It's a little black line on the bus window, and that way children can't stick their head out the window. It's a safety device, or it's a safety precaution, and I expect our buses to follow that safety precaution. Height requirements. You go to a fair, and they may have a ride, and the zoomy zoom, and the round and the make you barf ride, and what they do is they have a little height requirement. Why? They feel it is not safe for someone under a certain height to ride that ride. Now, thank God they don't have a width requirement. Can you imagine? If you
don't fit in between these two lines, you can't ride.
But for everybody else's safety, maybe. What is that? It's safety requirements. We have child-proof safety caps on our medicine bottles, and some of them are adult-proof too. But what's that? It's all about safety. Roadside flares for vehicles. You have an organization called OSHA. It's dedicated to the safety of our society and the financial destruction of our companies. And I can remember, I for years I worked as a machinist, and I used lathes and mills and drill presses and things of that nature. I worked at a place in central Indiana, and the boss, he did not respect OSHA and some of the guidelines that they had given to keep people safe. And this organization comes into companies and says, if you'll do this, your people will be safer, and if you'll do that, it'll keep you from having accidents. And they we cut some parts using a grinding wheel. And I remember they would tell us, now you take that grinding wheel off because it's going to slow production down. And then if an OSHA inspector were coming in, they'd tell everybody, they'd run around the shop, say, okay, everybody put your shields back on. Put those grinding shields back on. And one year, one of those shields had been taken off, and one of those grinding wheels shattered, and it stuck inside a man, and he had all sorts of operations. And then, and I would have thought that they would have changed their way, but they did not. A couple years later, one of those grinding wheels came off and hit a man in the head and killed him. And why? Because they were not following those safety precautions. You've heard that saying, better safe than sorry. What's it all about? Safety. Parents want their children safe. Grown children want their parents, as they go into the latter years of their life, their senior years, we want them to be safe. Now, we have a man here in our church. I looked out and saw him this morning. He works in that line of work. He helps with safety. He can go into a company, works with the government, about making things safe so people are safe. Now, do you panic about your safety? Do you worry about your safety? Did you know something? God wants you safe. God wants you safe. And the Bible teaches you of some of God's safety regulations. Now listen, if God warns you to keep that safety shield on in life, and then you take it off, you may find some things shattering and wounding you and hurting you because you push aside God's safety devices. I love that song, Sheltered Safe Within the Arms of God. God provides safety mechanisms. Earlier, I was thinking about something. They, in construction work and things, this is kind of a safety tape. This happens to say caution on it. And what they'll do is they'll take some of this tape, and if they're at a construction site, if they're building something, and there are places in that construction site, there might be a hole. You'll see out here on our property, we're getting ready to replace some of the signs and putting in some signs that are sunk into the ground. And those signs, we had to pull up an old sign, and we put some things over the top of those old signs because we didn't want somebody to fall in there and twist an ankle. And you be careful of them. They're out there. We're getting ready to put in some new senior citizen parking signs and some things like that. And you know something? On a construction site, they take some tape like this, and they would stretch it around that construction site so people would be safe. And it would keep somebody from falling in a pit or falling into a hole maybe. They would take this tape, and maybe if there was some steel and it had sharp edges, they would take this construction tape and they'd put it around that area. Why? So that we would be safe. It'd keep us away from it. It'd keep us in safety. You can go someplace where there might be fresh cement, and they don't want you to fall into it. Or maybe there's a big hole that's filling with water, and they wouldn't want you to fall into that. So what do? They use this safety tape. That's what it's all about. You'll see it. You'll see it all over the place. Now, you know what? That really is not there. A child may look at it and say, you know what? There, that caution tape, that's there to keep me from having fun. Not really. It's there to keep you from hurting yourself. It's there because somebody is concerned about your safety. That's what it's all about. Safety. And you know something? We are very concerned about our safety. Now, the Bible gives us some caution tape. The Bible provides for us some safety devices, if you will. The Bible guides us. The Bible, it protects us. God provides for us ways to keep us from hurting ourselves or hurting others. He wants to keep us in line. Now, His purpose is not to steal fun from us. His purpose is to keep us from hurting ourselves. Oh, our society is so concerned about safety. Well, if they're really concerned about safety, why don't they turn to the one who is most concerned about safety? Who is that? It's the God of the universe. I want to give you four or five things today. This will not be amazing to you, but I think if you'll listen, I can help you with your desire for safety. Some of you panic about the issues of, am I safe in life? Well, let me give you some guidelines that will help maybe remove some of that panic about safety. First of all, to be safe, you should live according to God's safety manual. You should live according to God's safety manual. You say, well, where's God's safety manual? It's an old black book. It's an old black book. I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about the Word of God. It's the only book that God ever wrote. And let me explain something to you. As you turn the pages, every page you turn, God is putting out the safety tape. God loves you. And every time you read the book, what's God doing? He said, I want to provide for you safety. I'm trying to make it so you don't fall in the pitfalls of life. I'm trying to make it so some sharp, dangerous object of sin does not pop out and get you. What is God doing? He is throwing out the safety cord. He's saying to you, watch out, I've got safety tape. Every single page is full of what? Safety. Safety. That's what it's all about. Safety. It's the only book that God ever wrote. Do you know that He knows every danger in the universe? Every danger known to man, God knows of that danger. Let me read something to you. You can follow along as I read, but I'm going to read to you from Proverbs chapter number 3, and you listen to this. This is about the Word of God. The Bible says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath He established the heavens. Now here the Bible says, God understands what the earth. He created it. And it says, He understands the heavens. Why? He created them. By His knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. You know what that's teaching us? When the water comes from the sky, God knows about that. God knows about the danger of flood. God knows about the danger of storms. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. You know what God's goal is? God's goal is that you don't fall and break your spiritual neck. That's what He just said there. He's going to keep your neck safe. He's going to keep you from stumbling. Now, what in the world did He say would keep you from breaking your spiritual neck? What in the world did He say would keep you from the storm and the storms destroying you? He said, His Word. His Word. Hey, when you read the Bible, don't do it just because you have to. Read it and say, God, hey, I want to stay safe. God, I want to learn how to keep my family safe. God, I want to be safe in life. What do I do, God? What do I do? And God will just start throwing out that old caution tape, and He will keep you safe in life. If you are truly looking for safety, then get to God's safety manual. It says, thy foot shall not stumble. God provides no skid strips for your life. He didn't want you to slip and fall. He didn't want you to break your spiritual neck. He didn't want you to stumble and fall and make a mess of your life. And He gives the instructions in this book. Now, the reason many of you suffer so many accidents in life is because you don't use God's safety manual. You don't use His manual to make your decisions. You don't run your everyday life by using His safety manual. The Bible says this in Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. What's it saying? If you want to be wise in heart, you have to receive the commandments of God. You let the Word of God control you and make your decision and what you do with your life, and then you can have safety. But a fool, one that rejects it, that person's going to fall. And of course, when you fall, you get hurt. And God is interested in your safety. The less you follow God's book of safety, the more hurt you will have in life. That's all there is to it. Some of you say, Brother Owens, I'm just hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt. Now, I'm not saying that all hurt is the result of us not following the Bible. But I am saying much hurt is the result of not following the Bible. Psalm 61:3, David said, "Thou hast been a shelter for me." Oh, God can be our shelter. God can keep us safe. There is so much panic in this world today about, am I going to be safe? Am I going to be safe? Is it going to be okay? Is it going to, am I going to get hurt? Listen to me. Listen to me. Calm down. God wrote a book to keep you safe. Believe the book. Live the safety manual. If you're safe in regard to yourself, and that's what you want, if you personally want to be safe, live according to the Bible. If you want your marriage safe, live according to the Bible. If you want your children safe, the safest place in this world for your children is in the will of God, which is found by the Word of God. I want my kids safe. You, Mama, will not keep them safe. The will of God will. You, Daddy, will not keep them safe. The will of God will. Your child doing your will is not safe. Your child doing the will of God is safe. That's safe. I want safety, Brother Owens. If you want your future safe, then you live according to the Bible. Hey, if you want your money safe as money can be, live according to the Bible. You want your heart safe? Say, oh, Brother Owens, I don't want my heart broken. And having a broken heart is not always bad. Sometimes God breaks our heart because it's best for us or it's good for us. But let me tell you something. You say, oh, I don't want my heart broken. Live according to the Word of God. God has safety for your heart. Say, I want my body safe. You listen to me. One of the safest things you'll ever do for your body is live according to the Word of God. Oh, Brother Owens, I want my ministry safe. Then if you want your ministry safe, live according to the Word of God. Brother Owens, I would like safety in my business. Then live according to the Word of God. I spend time on airplanes, and when you get on an airplane, they have a safety speech that they give you. One little part of that speech before you take off is this. They'll say, now there's an illuminated lightway. What they're telling you is the little lights are going to flash. There's an illuminated light passageway. These little lights will lead you to the safety exit in case we have an emergency. Hey, I've got good news for you. I have safe passage, and there is a light that will lead your life safely. The Bible says in Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." If you will live according to the Word of God, you will find safety in your life. You take the story of Jonah. Jonah, God, the Bible says that the word of the Lord came unto this fellow named Jonah. And God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. That's where I want you to go. And Jonah said, I'm not going to follow that illuminated. I'm not going to follow that lighted pathway. I'm not going to go where you want me to go. And so Jonah got on a boat and he headed in another direction. And you know what happened? Safety ceased to be for Jonah. All of a sudden a storm came, and they were afraid that this boat was going to sink. They actually grab Jonah, and they find out that he's backslid. They found out Jonah was to go one way, and he chose to go another way. He did not follow the direction of God. He was not doing what the Word of God told him, and now everybody's in danger. Everybody around him is in danger, and Jonah is in danger. His life is in danger. His ministry is in danger. He was not following that proper leading. Now, they grab him. They say, this boat's going to sink. We're all going to die. They throw him overboard. And I think Jonah, he's out there bobbling around in that water, and he said to himself, oh, how could it get worse? I'm going to drown. How could anything worse happen to me? And he looks around, and there is a hungry whale. And he said, well, it looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better here. And he gets swallowed by a whale. Now, What's causing all this? He didn't follow the word of the Lord, and safety had fled away from him. Had he just followed the word of the Lord, Jonah wouldn't have found himself in all these bad situations. A boat about to sink, in a storm, he's about to drown, and now he's about to be swallowed by a whale. What in the world happened to him? He didn't live according to the word of the Lord. I mentioned earlier, the safety capsule and medicine. Did you hear about the blonde right before she took her medicine? She was standing there going like this. Her husband said, "Honey, what are you doing?" She said, "Well, it says shake furiously before taking." She did not take her medicine. We'll make sure it shook up right. Listen to me, folks. We hear it over and over and over again about the importance of the Word of God. We cannot go overboard on the importance of the Word of God. You just cannot. It is safety. The Bible says there is safety if you will live according to the Word of God. But not only that. To be safe, you need to get help from other spiritual safety advisors. What? That's what the Bible recommends. You need to get help. Listen, Proverbs 11:14 says this, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Say, "Brother Owens, I'm looking for safety in life. I want to be safe." God said, then you need to get to someone who can advise you about how to be safe. If you want to be safe in certain decisions of life, you need to get counsel. Hey, you go and get the counsel, then you obey it. You know, it doesn't do any good at all if somebody gives you counsel that will keep you safe, and then you turn around and you don't follow it. Right? Then you're just... it's almost a dumb thing to do. Look, if someone said, "This is a safe thing to do," and you say, "Well, I'm not going to do the safe thing." Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Why would we want to think like that? We get safety from living God's Word. But there are some who give their lives to knowing God's Word and studying God's Word. Hey, there are people who want you to be safe. They spend their life coming up with ways and teaching the Bible so that you can learn to be safe. I was thinking of the gentleman in our church who is a safety professional. You know what? I would love to become a spiritual safety professional. I would love so that people could say to me, "Brother Owens, what's the right thing to do?" And when I give them advice, it's safe advice. Now, you listen to me, you teenagers, when you're 16 years old and you turn to your 16-year-old friend and say, "Hey, what would you do?" Look, you're not going to get the safest advice. They've not been down the path of life. They don't know what's right. Look, when your marriage is a mess and you go get advice from somebody and their marriage is a mess, that's probably not going to be the best advice. That's not the best advice. Get good counsel. Why? Because the Bible says where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. You know what counsel is? It's God rolling out the safety tape. That's what He's doing. He gives you advice. He uses the Word of God. He uses men of God. And He's just saying, "Okay, let me help you out here. I can keep you safe. This safety tape, it's not there to keep you from the good things. It's there to keep you from the bad things. It's there to protect you." And if you're truly concerned about safety, then use counsel. That's what the Bible teaches. We get safety from counsel. We trust our own judgment way too much. See, you've got to realize something, folks. Every one of us are guilty of this thing called pride. None of us want to admit we don't know what to do. Hey, and if you're the kind of person that's willing to say, "I don't know what to do, I need someone wiser than me to guide me," then you're an exceptional Christian. You're a very moldable person. But most of us, we wouldn't want someone to think we didn't know what to do, or we didn't know how to make a proper spiritual decision. But the Bible says this, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." We somehow believe that we always know what's best. But how many times have we made a decision and then we look back and say, "I can't believe I just did that. Now that I look back, Look at the mess I've made. Look at what I've done to my life. I did not make the safest decision. Why? The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's what? Safety. What's God doing? God's stretching out that safety tape. He wants to make sure you're safe. That's His goal, is that you're safe. Your God loves you. He sends counselors into your life that are wiser than you about certain things, and He wants you safe. Did you know there's no such thing as a stupid question? Sometimes we're almost afraid to ask a question because we're afraid that's a dumb question. Listen, as long as you're sincere about your question, there's no stupid question. You say, but Brother Owens, it seems like, you know, the question that I have, I ought to know it. I've been in church for years. Listen to me. The issue here is not how intelligent you look. The issue here is how safe are you? How safe are you? And if you have a question, if you need counsel, if you need help, well, get that counsel. Get that help. There's a new family here in our church, been here for some months. And one day I was in my office and I heard them talking to their daughter. She's just about knee-high, 4 or 5 years old. And they're new in the area and new in our church. And I heard them saying to their daughter, standing outside my office door, said, "This is the preacher's door. And if you ever have an emergency or if you ever can't find mom and dad, you come right here to this door because the preacher will know what to do." I thought, you know, that's a very wise thing. Because when the emergencies of life come, you need somebody that can help you figure out how to be safe. You need someone that can help you to know how to be safe. You know, the worst decisions I've made in my life are the ones that I made that were contrary to the Word of God, or the ones where I did not seek counsel, or I did what was contrary to the counsel I received. I got hurt. I hurt myself by not following the Word of God, or hurt myself by not getting some help. You're going to find this. I work very hard to make my preaching like a counseling session. I want you to be able to sit here and figure out what's going on. I want you to be able to say, you know something, I just got step by step how to solve my problem. You know, preaching is like counseling. I am virtually counseling. Oh, well, there's probably 700 or 800 people here today. I'm counseling 800 people this morning. There's safety in that counsel. There's the Old Testament story of a man by the name of Rehoboam, one of Solomon's children. Rehoboam took over the kingdom after his daddy Solomon. The Bible says that Rehoboam was debating on how to handle the country that he is now overseer. And he goes to the old men and he counsels with some of the old men in the kingdom. Men many, many years his senior. And Rehoboam says, "I need to know how to handle the country." And the men said, "Your father Solomon taxed the people very heavily. He was a little cruel with the people." And these older, wiser men said, "Now, as a young man, and as you take over, you be very careful how you handle them. And be careful. Don't ease up on the taxes. Ease up and love them for a while." And then Rehoboam went to seek counsel from his peers. The young men, the Bible says, that he grew up with in the kingdom. The guys he went to high school with. The guys he ran around with. The guys he played ball with. He said, "Fellas, look, I went and talked to the old men. I got counsel from them about how to handle the taking over of this kingdom. Now I'm coming to you. How should I handle this? What do you think?" And his buddy said, "Hey, let's party. Boy, let's tax the people. It doesn't matter how rough it is on them. Let's tax them and tax them. And hey, your daddy built some whopping big buildings and he had some luxury. But let's make it so your luxury is greater than his. And we together will tax the people." And you know what that young king did? He listened to the counsel of the young men instead of the counsel of the old men, and that kingdom got split right down the middle. Half the people said, "I'm not going to do it." The other half said, "We'll follow." And what a mess they had on their hands. What happened? He listened to wrong counsel and he ends up hurting himself and hurting the kingdom. And still to this very day, we tell that story. What happened? Well, it's sour counsel. The Bible says if you'll seek wise counsel, it's like God throwing out that caution tape in your life. He'll keep you safe. He'll keep you from falling in a hole. He'll keep you, the Bible says, from falling in a pit. He'll keep you from stumbling. He'll keep you from falling and breaking your spiritual neck, as Proverbs chapter 3 recommends. I hesitate to mention this, but I'm going to. I may have mentioned it a couple of times in my lifetime. There was a point in the earlier part of my ministry where I felt, as at this time in my ministry, I was an assistant pastor to Dr. Hiles in Hammond, Indiana. But I felt that God might want me to go out into the pastorate. And off and on, churches would come and see me and say, listen, would you be our pastor? Would you consider it? I remember one particular church that I went to, and I checked on it, and I was considering it. But I sought counsel, and the counsel said, I don't think the timing's right. So I did what the counsel said. Oh, little did I know, that church that would have called me and that church that I could have gone to, they ended up calling a pastor. And oh, the tragedy and the heartache that soon was on the horizon for those people. I remember standing back and thinking, wow, one bit of advice I sought, I listened to, spared me, my family, all that heartache, because that would have been me. That would have been me. I wonder how many times you could have spared yourself heartache had you just listened to spiritual counsel. Why? That counsel is there to throw out the caution tape. God is concerned about your safety. Let me tell you why out there in the lost world, there are so many people living paranoid. There are so many people just totally panicked about life. They're away from God. They're away from God out there. Look, when you don't have the Savior, when you don't go by the book, when you don't have spiritual counsel, you're going to have constant fears about what? Safety. Safety. Number three, to be safe, you need to learn to pray. You need to learn to pray. Learn to talk to the safety instructor of the universe. Proverbs 18:10, the Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And is safe. You talk to virtually any theologian and they'll say to you that often when the Bible mentions the term tower in a given situation, it's talking about a tower of prayer. There's some people that tried to build what they call the Tower of Babel. It was their way of building a tower that would help them to get closer to God, to communicate with God. But throughout the Bible, if God talks about a tower, time and time again, He's talking about a tower of prayer, reaching God. And here the Bible says there is safety because the righteous run to a tower. You need to learn to pray. Whether you like it or not, it's hard. Praying is work. Doing it consistently is work. We will dabble in prayer, and then we fall back to just praying over our meals here and there. And when we have emergency, there's a bunch of people in this church, though, for 30-some weeks in a row on a Wednesday night, I taught you how to pray and how to get things from God. Now listen to me. When you set the thing of prayer aside, you're in danger. You're in danger. You are going to find safety in prayer. Every time you hit your knees, my friend, God starts pulling out the tape of caution. He starts stretching out boundaries and borders that will keep you safe. And the reason why some of you are in the mess you're in and you've been hurt unnecessarily is you don't pray. You don't pray. Young man, let me ask you a question. Did you pray before you made that major decision? Well, I was just shook up. Shook up or not, hit your knees, buddy. The worst decisions of life are made when you're standing up. Right. You should have been down. Fallen before God. Begging God for safety. You listen to me. There is safety in this life. It is supernatural safety. The God of the universe can come and keep you safe in a unique way. You say, Brother Owens, I'm scared in life. I've got some major decisions to make. Don't make them standing up. Make them fallen in humility before the God who is the God of all safety. I wonder how many times I've been on an airplane and there's thunderstorms and lightning and tornadoes, and I'm watching all the people in the airplane panic. And I'm fine. Say, why? I've already prayed about it. I've been in the book. Hey, you don't scare me with death. I'm going to heaven. And they're all just like this. There's a lack of security. Why? There's a lack of prayer in our lives. Pray that God guides you in His Word. Pray that God's counsel will help you. There was a man. I was, again, working in a machine shop, and young man came along, and he wanted to be ultra productive, and I'm for that. I like productivity. I don't like deadbeats on the job. I like somebody that's getting something done. And this fella, I had recommended to him. He was running a drill through some parts, and when you'd run that drill through the parts, that cast iron, the chips on it were kind of twisting and curling, and they'd become long, like long curled pieces of spaghetti. But you have to understand, razor sharp. And to hold on to his part as he was using that drill, he put on a pair of gloves. I had said, I don't think that's a good idea. Now to him, it made total sense to put that glove on. So, he got to using that drill, and those chips, long, curly, razor sharp, cast iron chips were coming off there, and one of those chips grabbed a hold of his glove. Not a hold of his finger, a hold of his glove. And his glove pulled right into the cutter and cut off his finger. You say, what in the world happened? You know, another young man came along, and he said, man, he said, Jeff, how could I keep that from happening? Now listen, he asked. You know what prayer is? Asking. He asked, and I said, that man's mistake was he wore that glove. You know, that young man will probably never get his, that second young man will never get his finger cut off by wearing a pair of gloves around that kind of machinery. Why? Because he asked. Because he asked, safety was made available. Look, he said, Brother Owens, I'm scared. Young people, you're home at night and it's dark and you're scared. What do I do, Brother Owens? Pray. 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 God is only a prayer away. That's true. You pray. You pray. Ask God about safety, that you want to be safe. A lack of prayer in your life will produce a lack of security in your life. I'll guarantee it. I'll guarantee it. I love this story. You've heard it. I've heard it. This story in 2 Kings chapter 6, there was a man, a prophet by the name of Elisha. A group of Syrians, which was the enemy of God, they kept trying to attack the armies of God's children. And every time these Syrians would go to attack the God's army, they knew about it. And so they would move their army, or the Syrians would attack, planning on bushwhacking them, but it never happened. And somebody in the Syrian army said, what's going on here? We've got a spy in our camp. Somebody's telling that other army, every time we go to get them, they're not there. They've moved. Somebody's on to us. And someone in the camp said, well, it's not a traitor in our army. They have a man of God there. His name is Elisha. He is the one that keeps telling them that we're coming. So the whole Syrian army went to a city by the name of Dothan. And when they got to Dothan, that is where Elisha lived. And they said this. They said, we'll surround him. We'll take him out. Now, living in Dothan was Elisha and his sidekick, his assistant pastor. Now, there were only two in the house. They were the only two there. They brought the whole Syrian army to surround one independent fundamental Baptist fella and his sidekick. They surrounded him. That morning, Elisha and his sidekick, they woke up. And his assistant pastor went out on the front porch to get the morning newspaper. Probably had some big old cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee in his hand. He went out there to get the journal. And he looked out and he said, whoa, we are surrounded. They had no idea in the night the Syrian army had surrounded them. He said, oh, he shut the door. He ran in. He was trembling. His coffee was shaking. He said to Elisha, it's bad, real bad. mean, Elisha, and Elisha said, what happened? The teenagers of the church TP the trees again? No, no, said this assistant pastor. No, no, no. You don't understand. They're everywhere. The Syrians are, we are surrounded. The Bible says that Elisha went out on the front porch. He said, calm down. And the Bible says Elisha began to pray. And Elisha said, oh God, open the eyes of this man so he can see. And the minute Elisha prayed that, the assistant pastor's eyes were open and they looked up into the clouds, and racing through the clouds were chariots of fire. God's angels there and ready to take care of the man of God and that assistant pastor. And that assistant pastor said, all right, come on, you guys.
Yeah.
He's ready to go there. You know, there's some of you, you're cowering. And you're like that assistant pastor. And you say, oh, I'm outnumbered. What's going to happen to me? Open your eyes. You've got a God that cares about you. And there are chariots of fire that float through the sky to protect us. And it was the prayer of Elisha that opened the eyes of that man. Prayer. Prayer. Listen. Every time you go to prayer, you know what you're doing? You're getting that caution tape out there. What's it there for? Keep you safe. I'll tell you why some of you don't feel safe. I'll tell you why. You don't pray. You're not getting the instructions you need. And I wonder how many could say, you know, Brother Owens, sometimes I get all panicked and I get all worried and I get all frustrated and I go to prayer and I say, God, help me. And He calms me. Yes, sir. Sure will. He's a calming God. To be safe. I want safety. I want safety. How can I find safety? To be safe, you must live according to God's safety manual. That's the Word of God. To be safe, you must have spiritual safety advisors. That's counsel. To be safe, you need to learn to pray and talk to the God of safety. To be safe, you need to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. That word hearkeneth there, it means submit. So just like when we're taught to submit to our husband or a wife, or submit, we are to submit. It's submitting to the Spirit of God and His leading. If you want safety, you must learn to submit to the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. When God speaks to you, make sure that you hearken. Make sure you submit to the Holy Spirit. That's for your safety. Obey when He speaks to you. Obey the command of the Spirit of God. I believe God tries desperately to protect us from spiritual injury, but so many times we push the tape away. Boy, when the Spirit of God starts dealing with your heart, whatever you do, don't push it away. Say, I'm not going to follow that guidance. That's unimportant. Oh, you're making a mistake. Now look, if you were a construction worker and you'd put the caution tape up, and all of a sudden a bunch of teenage boys come by and you've seen them lifting up the tape and getting ready to walk under it, and they're going out to the construction site, you'd run over there and say, wait, don't do that. It's unsafe. Well, listen to the preacher when God begins to speak to your heart and warn you and advise you and give you instruction. Whatever you do, you don't lift the protective tape of God's Spirit's leading and walk right on by. Listen when God convicts you. Listen when God advises you. Listen when the Spirit tells you something. You listen. Don't reject Him. A parent will warn their child. Now, don't do that. Don't do that. That will hurt you. And then the child goes out and goes ahead and goes through with the act. And the child gets hurt. That's how your Heavenly Father feels. When your Heavenly Father comes to you and He warns you and He throws that caution tape out, it's there for your safety. He'll protect you. Hey, He'll protect you from yourself. We can be our own worst enemy sometimes. He'll protect you from your vanity and your pride and your arrogance. The Holy Spirit will protect you. He'll help you not to make bad decisions. He'll help you. He'll protect you from the results of sin in your life. Well, I got to thinking. And so, you know, when the Spirit of God convicts you, it's not punishment. It's protection.
Right.
He's trying to protect you. You say, "Oh, brother, always I feel bad about my sin, and I'm tired of feeling bad." You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to keep you from feeling worse. The Spirit of God is not coming to punish, but to protect. He's saying, don't go that way. You'll get hurt. Listen to me. The Spirit of God says, come on. Come this way. Follow me. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today, He's mine all the way. Listen. Listen, He's not trying to hurt you. You say, well, when I feel the pressure of conviction and I've done wrong, and Brother Owens, I don't like it. Hey, that is there for protection. God's trying to watch out for you. Think of the story, Mary and Joseph and the Christ child. I believe that Mary's husband, Joseph, the earthly stepdaddy, if you will, of Jesus, I believe he was a man that was filled with the Spirit of God. I believe that because I seen when Mary told Joseph that she was pregnant, how Joseph handled himself so wisely. And then later on you find out that Herod was out to slaughter this pronounced Messiah. It had been told that there was a king coming on the scene. He would be the king of Israel. Well, Herod, he didn't want that. He wanted to make sure that somebody did something about it. And Herod ends up, later on we find out, Herod became awful rude and crude and tried to figure out how to get rid of this possible new king. The Bible teaches that God spoke to the heart of Joseph and said, Joseph, when that boy child is born, I want you to go into Egypt for a little while. You go to Egypt. You know what Joseph did? Joseph did not doubt the leading of God's Spirit. Joseph did exactly what God's Spirit told him to do. And he took Mary and he took baby Jesus and they went into Egypt for a little while. I've always thought about that scripture. Boy, there's far more tucked into that little story than what we think. There they are in Egypt. Hey, I'm sure Joseph said, what? Egypt? What are we going to Egypt for? I am so glad that though Joseph did not understand it, he did it. There are some times the Word of God will lead you to do something. You say, I don't understand it. Just do it. Do it for your own safety's sake. The Holy Spirit of God comes and He rolls out that safety, that precaution tape. He says, watch out. I'm trying to keep you safe. I'm trying to keep you from falling into the pit of your own ways. And you know what happened? The Bible teaches us that Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus fled into Egypt. And when they did, Herod said, I want every child that is age 2 and under slaughtered. Do you realize that Herod had his soldiers go all over the country and every baby that was a month or 2 months or 3 months old were killed, or 4 months or 5 months or 6 months were killed, a year, 18 months, 19 months, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 months. They cut their heads off, they sliced them up with a knife, and they murdered every single baby in the land. And I think Joseph said, thank God! Thank God! Baby Jesus was safe because I submitted to the Spirit of God. And I'm sure that when the tape was being rolled out, he said, you got to get out of town, Joseph. Do what I tell you to do. Do what I tell you to do. Do what I tell you to do. He obeyed the Spirit of God and Jesus was safe. Safety? That's what we're all interested in, right? You want true blue safety? Do you want safety beyond what man-made safety mechanisms can offer? I'll tell you what you do. Live according to the Bible. Get counsel because the Bible says that's a safe thing to do. Learn to pray because God said therein you'll find safety. Yield to the Spirit of God because therein you will find safety. To be safe, you've got to learn to trust in the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Safe. What's it talk about? Living by faith. Trusting Him, much like Joseph did. Joseph said, I don't understand it, Lord, but you told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. Too many of you have too much confidence in yourself to do what you want to do. You say, well, I didn't understand. I didn't understand why God would want me to do thus and so. So I went my own way, and you got yourself into trouble because you just did not want to practice old-fashioned faith in God. Many of our hurts are because we do not trust Him. We do not trust His Word because we do not trust Him. You do not trust His counsel because you do not trust Him. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You don't pray because you don't trust Him. We want safety. You want a watchdog. You want a watchdog. You know, get me a watchdog. That'll keep me safe. I'm glad we have a watchdog. I have one myself. I got a dog named Pupcake. It's my watchdog. And it'll scare you if you're under 2 foot tall. Hey, do you know what you get when you cross a pit bull and a collie? A dog that'll bite you, then run and go get help. I want safety. I'm looking for safety. I want safety in life. You go ahead and get your alarms and get your gun, and you go ahead and you get your flashlights and your reflectors, and you go ahead and follow all the devices that this world offers for safety, and I am for every one of them. But let me tell you something. There is no safer place than being right smack dab in the will of God. That is the safest place you can go. You can have every safety device the world has to offer. And if you're not right with God, the curse of life will catch up to you. You don't have the Holy Spirit's direction because you don't trust Him. The Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You need to learn to trust in your Heavenly Father. I realize there are people here. You have a hard time trusting your God. You have a hard time trusting authority and trusting leadership. Maybe some leader in life let you down, and you thought that leader would protect you. You thought that leader or that authority was there to keep you safe, and they let you down and they hurt you. You therefore, you don't trust God, and you no longer trust. Let me tell you something. God won't let you down. God's good all the time. God knows what He's doing. You can trust God. He won't let you down. He'll keep you safe. Trust God. Have faith in God. I think of Noah and the building of the ark. I am so glad that Noah just trusted. By faith, Noah built him an ark. You've heard people talk about it before, but God came to Noah, and God said to Noah, Noah, I want you to build an ark. You see, it had never rained before. They had no need for an ark before. I don't know how frustrating that was to Noah. I have no idea. But I can tell you this. He may not have understood it, but he trusted. Maybe he didn't even like it. You know, over 100 years he spent building that boat. It might not have been pleasant. It might not have been thrilling. Hey, probably wasn't Noah's plan, but it's what God said to do, and Noah trusted God. And I will guarantee you that because of Noah's trust, Noah's wife and his kids and their mates, they looked at Daddy when they finally shut the door of that ark and the rain was coming and everybody else on the outside were unsafe. Everybody in his family said, thank God I got a daddy that trusts God. We didn't understand it. We didn't know the rain would come, and we didn't know what would happen. But Daddy did what God told Daddy to do, and because of it, we're not out there bobbling with our head under the water, drowned by disbelief, but our heads above water, and we're safe in the ark. And the day the door popped open, and they all walked out, and they got to see what God had done, they all said, thank God, we're safe. We're safe. We're safe. You want safety? Best safety in the world is to be right with God. Right. I don't say it's scary, but if you're not right with God, you better be careful. You're walking on slippery rocks. You may find yourself toppling over. You get hurt in life. We're all going to suffer some hurt in life, but you're going to suffer far less when you're in the safety net of God. He throws that old caution tape out there for us. Hey, listen, if you're not saved today, I'm going to give you a good piece of advice. Get saved. You say, why? It's a safe thing to do. That's a safe thing to do. You say, well, I'll get saved when I'm older. How do you know you're going to get older? You know, the safe thing to do is get saved right now. Right now. What do you have to lose? I mean, you can get saved. It's a free gift. It's from God. Now, it's free to you and I. Somebody else paid an awful lot for it. Jesus gave it all. He made salvation available. You know something? You take the two men on the cross, one of them that they were hanging, one to the right, one to the left of Jesus Christ. You know that one of them turned to Jesus, and you know what he did? He did the same thing. And Jesus said to that man who was about to die, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The other guy, he did the wrong thing. Probably died and went to hell, for all we know. What's a safe thing? Get saved. Getting saved is a safe thing. Trusting Jesus Christ, that's the safe thing. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you could trust Him today, get born again, and I'll guarantee you, your fear of the afterlife can be done away with. I am not in a hurry to go to heaven. Now, there are some people that are more spiritual than I. I mean, they're just saying, yeah, come get me, God. I'm saying, wait, let's relax here a little. I enjoy doing what I do. Heaven's going to be wonderful. I believe in heaven. I'll tell you this. I do not spend my life in fear of the afterlife. I can't tell you how many people I have met who did not know Christ and they're on their deathbed and they were a mess. Panicked, freaked out. And then I could take you to bedside after bedside of people who have trusted Christ, who though they may be dying, they're okay. They know there's a land that is fairer than they. And by faith, they could see it afar. And the Father was waiting over the way to prepare for them a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Because it's the safe thing to do. Everybody's concerned about safety. You want real safety? Live according to the safety manual, God's book. Get spiritual advice. Learn to pray. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Live by faith and trust Him. And safety is available. So I come to people that hurt. And I hurt for you folks that hurt. And because I do, I've attempted today to just say, do this and you can calm down. You'll be all right. Do what God wants. And He provides caution tape. You'll avoid a lot of the heartaches of life that way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.